Blog Talk Radio.
It's all that market.
Hey, good evening, everybody. It's Monday, November 27th. This is episode 4, and I'm your host, Christian Button. Tonight, we have a very, very special guest, Jason Maslico, better known as Dark Guy. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, fantastic, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for doing this super, super short notice. I really appreciate it. Tonight, what we're pretty much going to talk about is the state of the Leafs. They are second in their division, but I feel like they should be doing better, being able to hold a lead after two periods. What is your feel about this year so far?
Well, recently, it hasn't even so much been holding a lead after two periods. It's actually showing up before two periods. A couple slow starts there in the last week had the Leafs fighting from behind for the most part. So I don't know, we've got a good team. We're experiencing basically the same things that we were last year, seeing a little bit of the deficiency on our back end. But you know, overall we're ahead of last year's pace, so it's kind of hard not to be optimistic about our chances again this season.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely agree with that. I think definitely a big thing the team needs to focus on at least is, in my opinion, I think we need a good shutdown defenseman. We need somebody to take those minutes away from Hainsey and Zaitsev because they're playing over 23 minutes a game on the penalty kills. What are you feeling about that?
Well, you know what? Hainsey's been a rock for us since we got him. I definitely knew he'd be good for us defensively. Having that veteran presence on the back end to eat up some minutes and perhaps, you know, mentor the young guys a little bit, you know, your Rileys and your Zaitsevs and whatnot. But we've been getting a big bonus out of him recently with his unexpected offensive production, which has been really nice.
Yeah.
I do have a concern that given Hainsey's age, if he continues to play the, you know, 30 minutes a night, that perhaps we could run into some problems towards, you know, the back half of the season with perhaps him breaking down a little bit. I've been a big proponent all year of, and all summer actually, of the Leafs making a deal to get another top four defenseman. So I agree with you 100% there. And I think we have the depth and the assets to do it without actually having to part with one of our big three. A lot of people, you know, you go on social media and everybody's saying, you know, it's going to cost you Marner or Nylander to get a top four defenseman. And I completely disagree with that. I think we have the assets to make a move with our depth down with the Marlies and our draft picks and everything to not have to give up one of those guys if we want to do something here.
Yeah, who would you give up if you were the GM? What depth player would you say would you package, or would you just trade one for one?
So absolutely. So right now we're looking at, you know, we've got Timoshov in the minors. We got highly touted prospect Jeremy Bracco in the minors.
Yeah.
You know, we have two firsts next year, two seconds, or one first and two seconds, right?
I think it's one first, two seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, one first, two seconds. So JVR. Everybody knows he's going to need a contract extension. He's probably going to want some big money. He's the guy for me. Before I give away a Marner or a Nylander, I'm going to explore every other option if I'm running the show. And I know Lou's a smart guy, so he's not going to be quick to give one of those guys away. But I just think JVR, either that first rounder or a second rounder, packaged with a Jeremy Bracco, a Josh Levo, something along those lines, can get you that D without having to, you know, send a guy like Marner and Nylander packing. So that's kind of where I would be looking.
Yeah, I have the same feelings with that. Definitely, I think the thing with Josh Levo is, you know, they did just sign him to that 1-year deal. I think that they're going to, we're not going to have JVR or Bozak or Komarov. One of those three, I believe, are going to be gone by the trade deadline. And either Levo or Soshnikov, definitely one of those two need to come into the lineup. If I had to pick one of the two, it'd be Soshnikov. I believe he plays exactly like Komarov, just younger. He's fast-paced, and he has a better scoring talent from what I've seen so far of him.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, if you can remember back to Soshnikov's first couple goals with the Leafs, they were absolute laser beam shots that, you know, proved he had the chops to score at the NHL level. And I do agree. He does have a physical game to him. I think perhaps he's just a guy who needs more ice time and more opportunity. With Josh Levo, he's got the talent, and he's produced with the Leafs when given a chance. I haven't been a huge fan since his days in Sudbury in the OHL. Just because when I watched him back in junior, he was one of those guys that just kind of relied upon his scoring ability. Like, there was no second effort away from the puck type thing. And I was always concerned that, you know, that wouldn't translate into being, you know, an upper echelon NHL player, because as everybody knows, you know, just because you're a scorer in junior hockey and in major junior doesn't mean you're going to do the same in the OHL. So I was kind of actually thinking maybe that Josh Levo 1-year deal was to give a team a little more incentive to take a chance on him in a trade.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I never really came across my mind. I kind of thought it'd be like, you know, here, sorry that we're not playing you. Here's this 1-year deal. One of these guys is going to be gone. You'll have playing time. But that also makes sense as well, that it is an initiative. I kind of feel bad for the guy sitting in the press box watching. I think he needs to play hockey. And eventually, at one point, he's not going to be happy with it. So.
No, I mean, and to his credit, you know, he's said all the right things to this point in time and appears to be taking it like the best he can and being a good teammate. So that's definitely a good sign of his character and, you know, not sitting there complaining to the media or making a big deal about it. But, yeah, it's tough, especially for a guy like Levo, who, like I said, I agree, you know, to the people that really, really like him. I mean, he's got the talent. I mean, it's there. It would be interesting to maybe see what he could do if he was given, you know, 20 games in a row to play without, you know, being exiled back to the press box. But with our depth and the contracts we have, it's hard to get that ice time for everybody. And if you're going to want to play, you got to stand out. I mean, he had a goal the other night, which was great. But when it boiled down to, other than that goal, that, I mean, Matt Martin would have scored that goal on that breakaway against Carolina the other night. I mean, other than that, he really didn't stand out a lot. And when you're fighting for ice time, you got to do a little bit more, in my opinion.
Yeah. So another question about Josh Levo is, what did you think about them exposing Leipzig and not Levo?
Well, you know, one thing I've done for a long time as a Leafs fan is question every move that management made because, you know, prior to Shanahan and Lou, we had some questionable moves made. And that was even when Brian Burke was in town. For as great of a hockey guy as he is and as smart of a mind as he is, he made some questionable moves that might have hurt, the long-time plan for the Leafs. But when we exposed Leipzig, I just basically said, you know what, if Lou and Shanny say he's the guy that doesn't fit, then I didn't question it. I was just, you know what, I trust these guys completely. So,
yeah, no, I'm definitely with you there. I definitely haven't been this happy about a Leafs team in a very long time.
No, it's they're a great, young, exciting squad. We finally have a goaltender that there's no debate who is the number one. It's Freddie all the way. And
exactly.
It's hard not to be excited about this team.
Yeah, I think the one thing Freddie needs to improve on is definitely it seems he always lets those one or two bad goals in. I mean, it's understandable when you're facing 50 shots a night almost. She shouldn't be. But there is a couple goals I believe he should have.
Yeah, well, I mean, when he just came off, it was over 2.5 games of a shutout streak there. Kind of hard to knock him about letting in soft goals.
Yeah,
but,
exactly. Yeah.
But Freddie to me is one of those guys who I think he's one of those guys who's going to play better for you if you're giving him those 35, 40 shots a night versus say under 30. It just seems to be like whenever there's a game going on and the shots start creeping upwards of 40 and he's in the game right from the start, he's a rock for us. It's kind of like when those games aren't when the team's playing good and we're not giving up maybe as many high quality chances that you tend to see one maybe slip in by him or whatever. But either way you slice it, I have full faith in Freddie, and we, no matter what, if he lets in one or two every here and there, I mean, the best goalies in the world do. It's not like he's letting
exactly.
at a James Reimer or Jonathan Bernier pace. By all means, I got absolutely nothing bad to say about Freddie. He's been a rock for us.
Oh, no,
and,
I don't either, yeah.
Like I said, if once every, 4 or 5 games a soft goal happens to slip in, well, it happens to the best of them. Look at Carey Price, the first half of the season, beginning of the season before he got hurt, he couldn't stop a beach ball. So
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I know where you're coming from there. It's definitely. Do you think they should have played Anderson against Washington? Do you think they should have let him sit for that one?
Yeah. So for me, I would have went back to Anderson. I don't, like I said, I don't often question or disagree with this leadership group that we got here and Mike Babcock, one of the best hockey minds in the world. I've just been for a long time not able to understand the absolute 100%. It's written in stone, I can't play my goalie on back-to-back nights. I don't get it. These guys are professionals. They take care of their bodies. And, it's not like it was 20 years ago or even, 30 years ago when guys were perhaps not as physically fit as they are now, where, these guys are doing everything they do. They're eating right. They're working out. They're keeping their bodies in good shape. I would have went back to Anderson. Being a goalie myself, when I played junior hockey, I played back-to-back nights, and we weren't flying in first class airplanes going to game. Riding buses everywhere we went. I just never started to feel tired or run down or anything like that. And I tell you, I was nowhere near as good a shape as these guys are. So,
no, I definitely agree with you there. I personally thought they should have started Anderson as well. I think they should start him a lot more back-to-back games because I always feel he plays better, like you said, more shots, more play time, under pressure. Those are, I think, his best games.
Yeah.
McElhinney.
Well, actually, I think we were going to hit on the same point there, so I'll let you ask your question.
Okay, yeah. I feel with McElhinney, I like McElhinney. I think, as much as I know, I think he's a good locker room guy. He comes up with those big saves, especially last year on Crosby. That's pretty much brought us to the playoffs, that save. I think he comes up in big games, but he also lets in a lot of bad goals that I think Anderson could stop. I believe they should put McElhinney on waivers and bring up one of the guys from the minors. And mostly I would think Pickard, let Sparks sit down there and play. He's on fire right now in the AHL. So,
yeah. So that's wise minds think alike, because that's exactly where I was going with that
too.
I do love McElhinney. He's been a soldier in the NHL for a long time, and you don't carve out a career like that as a backup unless you're a good goalie and a good team guy. So, you know, I don't want to throw this guy under the bus or you know, try and chase him out of town like, you know, Toronto media loves to do with certain guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When it comes down to it, can we get better goaltending from Garrett Sparks or Calvin Picard? Yes, we can. I think Calvin is a little further along in his development than perhaps Garrett is, and you can bring a guy up like Picard and put him in a backup role. He's proven he can handle it, and you know, we do have to have one of these guys ready if Anderson gets hurt, because the way I see it, if Anderson gets hurt, it's not going to be Curtis McElhinney that assumes the number one role. If Anderson were to get hurt, I'm betting that it's either going to be Calvin or Garrett that is going to come in and be the number one guy, and McElhinney will be backing them up. So as far as I'm concerned, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Sparks is playing fantastic for the Marlies. Picard has proven his chops in the NHL. He's a solid goalie. I actually have, you know, Peter Neal, James Neal's father, on my show on the weekend, and he was talking to how great of a guy Calvin Picard is and how great of a guy he is as like a team change room guy and stuff like that. He's a positive force around the team. So, you know what, I tend to agree with it. You know, no offense to Curtis. Thank you for everything you did, and thanks for that huge Crosby save last year.
Yeah,
but maybe it's time for the Leafs to you know, give one of these young guys a little bit of a bigger role.
Yeah, I definitely. Great minds do think alike. I definitely exactly what I was thinking.
I'd be partial to Garrett just because of the fact that when this dark guy thing blew up, he was one of the first guys to reach out to me and congratulate me, and I have a Twitter friendship with Garrett, so he'd be my guy.
yeah. Sparks is an awesome guy. I mean, he's an awesome locker room guy too, from what I've heard, what I've read. So he's definitely somebody that I would like to see called up, but I don't want him sitting. So, Anderson's like, you know, he has concussions, right? He has. Once you get enough of them, it's we don't know how long he's going to be out if he gets another one this season. There's been a couple close calls, especially at the Arizona game. I'm always cringing when he gets knocked into the net or knocked behind the net. So it's definitely something to think about. Bringing one of those guys up that can that's a known, proven backup and starter. Like Picard was good last season. As bad as the Avalanche were, he was good in net for them, and he was good in the championships in the summer as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was a big fan of his. Honestly, so when I saw him, we claimed him on waivers. I thought that was just a glorious move. And truth be told, I thought at the time that McElhinney was finished in Toronto at that point in time. I just kind of assumed, like he suggested, that with Picard in the picture, that they would have put Curtis on waivers and brought Calvin up. It didn't go that way. But like I said, I try not to question it, this specific management group as much as, you know, the John Ferguson Jr. era and stuff like that. So. Yeah. If they think Curtis is the guy for now, let's hope they're right.
Yeah, I definitely hope that he can steal us some more games like he did last season, because he was definitely a big part of that, the reason we did go to the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
So another topic I'd like to talk about is, I feel the Leafs are taking a lot of penalties. What do you feel about that? It feels like there's a lack of discipline, especially with Kadri. He likes to retaliate.
Yeah.
He's always done that.
So,
but
Kadri's always been one of those guys, and that's been very, I guess, we'll say temperamental. I get his frustration the other night. It was the Jersey game, I believe. It was the Florida game. It was the Florida game where, I mean, a minute left in the game, he takes two cross checks back to back, I think, no, sorry, we were in overtime already. We were on the podcast.
It was before that.
Two crush. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he retaliated.
He retaliated.
And, you know.
I get his frustration, but use your head. We're on the power play. We have a chance to win this game here. Take a number, get him next game. He didn't need to throw that retaliation cross check out there. Now, in his defense, 100%, there should have been two penalties easily before that against Kadri, like on the cross checks against Kadri. So.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree with that. The reffing has just been horrible.
Atrocious.
Horrible this season.
I try not to be one of those guys that blames the referee for every loss. You know, the other night in Arizona, same thing. You know, it wasn't the referee's fault that we didn't play
the goal got called back. Or that, too,
45-50 minutes.
Yeah.
But the refereeing here in the NHL, and it hasn't just been this year, and it's not just the Leafs, it's been across the board. Has been ridiculous. 100%. There's zero consistency, and the biggest problem I see is there's zero accountability for the referees. I am a firm believer that something needs to be put in place, whether it be a review board or whatever the case may be. But you know, the referees can make mistakes and cost games, and throw 60 minutes of hard work out the window with a bad call, and there's no accountability. Now, I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, you know, we're all human. We all make mistakes, but this has been horrible. So, you know, yeah, the Leafs have been taking a lot of penalties, and as a fan, it's very quite frustrating to watch, but when it boils down to it, a lot of those penalties we're getting are on soft calls or you know, retaliation calls or even simple misinterpretations of the rules by the referees.
Yeah, that too. I think one thing that drove me crazy in the Florida game is when Matthews got tripped up and there was no call, but then they called Kadri for that small little cross check.
Yeah. Well, and the big thing was, so a lot of people on social media were trying to say, the defenseman got the puck first, so it was a good play. Well, that used to be the case.
Stripping.
But that is... It's incorrect now. As of 2014-2015, the NHL amended that rule to say the only thing that matters is whether it's going to be a penalty shot or not if he touches the puck first. So
exactly.
If in that scenario, if the defenseman would have touched the puck first and still tripped him, fine, it's only a 2-minute. If he didn't touch the puck first, it should have been a penalty shot. So the referee was calling that off of the old rule still. So where the old rule read, if you touch the puck first, it's no call.
Exactly.
But he didn't even touch the puck first anyway, so it doesn't matter if you go off the old rule.
I know.
Or what it's written as today, it was still a penalty. And that's the thing. It's very frustrating as a fan to be sitting on my couch watching this game, and it's like, how do I, just a fan, know the actual word-for-word rule, yet the guy who's getting paid – you know, probably a couple hundred thousand dollars a year to know the rules doesn't.
Yeah, it's definitely felt like there's been lack of calls, but then there's been a lot of poor calls. And you're right, it has been for the last couple of years, it has been really bad, but I think it's getting more noticed. You know, the further it goes on, people are like, hey, this needs to be changed. They're going to call somebody for that, but then 10 minutes into the game, the same thing happens to other player, and they're not going to call it. There should be a little more consistency with that.
Yeah, and I mean, so the NHL Player Safety Department were talking about, you know, having an influence in some of these rule changes, like the slashing to the hands and stuff. And it's like we're worried about lining up properly on a face-off. But a guy gets, like, perfect example, like Kadri the other night, gets cross-checked twice. One of them was from behind, head first into the boards, and we're not calling it. But we're focusing on now every little tap to a stick or a glove that isn't deemed going for the puck is a slashing penalty.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? It's like, you're worried about face-offs and taps to a stick, and now all of a sudden we don't care about cross-checks from behind anymore. It's just like it's very tough to be sitting at home and watching this. And can you imagine if you paid, you know, $200 for your ticket
to go to the game? Yeah.
To go to a game, and that's what happens. I mean,
exactly.
I don't know. There's got to be a way to get some consistency and you know, transparency in the rules and what the NHL does with their referees.
Yeah, it's definitely something needs to be said. I think there needs to be the next meeting. I think it probably won't happen.
They should have Dark Eye. They should have Dark Eye at the next meeting. I'll solve it.
Yeah, they need Dark Eye. Yeah, there you go. That would probably go in there and turn some heads, eh?
Yeah. Well, I would have a few words for them anyway.
Sure.
They might take notice. Either that, or I'll be getting escorted out fairly quickly.
Yeah. Exactly. I think another bad penalty that I was just thinking about was the Canadiens game, where Patches clearly hit Kadri in the numbers, and Kadri came back, and I mean, he did take a run at Weber, but it wasn't a headshot. And then the two Canadiens jumped Kadri, and then Kadri got a penalty. So, I mean, a situation like that, that's brutal. That's Ben and Weber shouldn't – one of them should have gotten – I believe they should have gotten a misconduct. Ben should have, or Weber. They both dropped the gloves, and they both jumped on him. That's just my thoughts about it.
Well, yeah, it's tough in a scenario like that to give one guy a penalty and then try and justify that why the other guy didn't, you know. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Definitely something that needs to be said. So,
well, if you gave me
how do you feel?
Batman.
yeah, exactly. That guy's driving me crazy this year. The last couple of years, I don't know. It's just the ownership of the NHL. Everything's going downhill. Less hitting, less fights. The instigator penalty completely ruined.
I'm a guy that believes in fighting is always going to have a place in hockey, and I tend to agree with you know, Grapes Don Cherry said it a long time ago, and I've always agreed with it, and I believe we will see it. It's going to go full circle. They're going to do their push to reduce fighting, and you're as to quote Don, you know, he says the rats of the game are going to take over. And it's going to get so bad to a point where they're going to have no choice but to, you know, maybe dispatch the instigator penalty to take care of certain things like this. Like, you know, we're making these rules for – we've increased the rules for slashing, like I touched on a little bit earlier, where you basically touch a guy's stick now, it's a penalty. Why did we have to do that? We had to do that because now there's no accountability because guys were allowed to go run wild. You know, the instigator penalty's there, so they know they can go and slash and hack and whack and hit anybody from behind. And if a guy tries to come at them, they're going to get the extra 2 minutes. So I believe you'll see it come first full circle. I don't know how long it's going to take, but sooner or later, it's going to get to a point in time where it's like putting in all these new rules, trying to stop these things from happening is not going to work. And they're going to realize that the best way to police it is let the guys police themselves. Like, we did for 100 years.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I believe. I believe that you're right in that part. We've got about a minute left here, so just kind of trying to wrap things up. Just gonna go touch back at that slashing thing again. That definitely from last year, especially from like Goudreau and Mathot. You know, Goudreau broke his fingers. Mathot lost the finger almost like.
It almost hacked his finger right off there.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But I would like to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's such short notice. I'd love to have you back on the show again at some point. I'll definitely give you more notice next time.
That sounds good.
But anyways, yeah, everybody check out the Dark Eye Show on TSN. Thanks. Have a wonderful night.
Right on. Thanks, buddy. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.